Welcome to another episode of Autismable Dance, Life with Autism, from a parent's perspective. With each episode, Rob and I talk with media professionals, business owners, and nonprofits to discuss what they are doing to help families get the services they need and how the public perceives autism. We also talk with other autism parents and autistic individuals about their life and autism. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about grandparents, family members, and friends who, quite frankly, don't understand about autism and don't know where they can help. And you as a parent, if you're listening to this, some tips for you, some tips to grandparents who struggle with the concept that your grandchild or family member is, you know, on the spectrum or has special needs. So I'm going to share this to everybody and take it for what you will. We all know that parenting in and of itself is a challenge. Now, add on to that, you know, having a kid with special needs that's associated with the child. You have some extra things to address that most likely as a parent you weren't expecting. And as a grandparent, you're not sure about. So let's put this into perspective. So as a parent, you're trying to address grandparents, family members, and friends with what is necessary in order to raise your kid with the best possible tools, best possible reasons, and everything necessary to in order for your kid to be living an independent life, which would be the ultimate goal. However, when a family member receives a diagnosis of autism, quite often what ends up happening is family members either A, don't accept it, or B, they're trying to help out the best way they know how by sending along a lot of information, or, you know, they're pretty cool about it and they understand what's going on. It was just kind of like, you know, an oddity. So I'm going to ramble on here for a second. So bear with me. The reality is that, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I found in parenting a child with special needs is managing family expectations. This includes even my own parents as our son was growing up, or more specifically, to state, your kids' grandparents. You know, dealing with my parents or, you know, those types of things. Now, I don't know about your specific, situation, but I do know that many families struggle with well-intentioned grandparents trying to help, or for that matter, not helping at all because they just don't accept the diagnosis. Now, some of this can be generational, but a lot of it really isn't. Either way, you need to know how to handle addressing your kids' grandparents, aka your own parents, when it comes to your kid's diagnosis. Now, there's going to be a lot of information here that I'm going to pass along. Some of it's just personal stories along this line, because my mom was a licensed clinical social worker. She was a professional in family advocacy. She should know, one would assume, what it would take as far as services and what's necessary in order to get the services for a child, you know, on the spectrum. That was not the case. The reality of it is that even though there are laws in place, you still have to prove to the professionals, you have to prove to educators, you have to prove to doctors, you have to prove to whoever you're taking your kid to, that they're autistic, you know, at every step of the way. This is not like some other type of diagnosis. You know, if you have a physical ailment or a physical disability that's easily recognizable, everyone sees it, they see the disability, and they go, oh, you can't hear, you have a hearing aid. Okay, accommodations can be made, done. You have Down syndrome, Well, typically there's a certain look. You see somebody has Down syndrome. There might be some issues there. Oftentimes, though, however, I find that individuals with Down syndrome are just as capable as anybody else. The reality of it is, when you're dealing with autism or some other quote unquote disability that is unseen, people can perceive that there's nothing wrong with the person. And that is a challenge as a parent. You go out into public with your kid or, grandkid, people will see that person as a just a regular individual because their issues are not seen. Their struggles are all internal. And I use these terms not to be as an ableist, but to recognize the fact that there are individuals who have challenges, sensory issues, that there is a portion of the autism community that is nonverbal, that do have significant sensory issues that amplify sounds, that amplify the visual stimulus. And we have to recognize that. And so, until that individual is able to learn how to self-regulate and to adjust and adapt, there's going to be some struggles. And that's just the reality. That's just life. And oftentimes, through, some forms of therapy and some forms of just learning how to desensitize in certain areas, they can be able to adapt rather well. But getting those services to the family and the individual that needs it is quite often the biggest struggle and sometimes a lot of controversy surrounding it. So when the diagnosis comes in, and this is to the grandparents, when your kid tells you that your grandkid has autism, accept it. It's a professional diagnosis. There are going to be needs that have to be met. And that's the reality of it. And there's going to be a fight every day to convince people that something needs to be helped. Somebody needs help. Some services are required. Some accommodations need to be met. And that is a fight that parents take every day on a daily basis, day in, day out, without fail. And we call it a fight because we have to convince people that, in our situation, we have to convince people that our nonverbal son that has behavioral issues, because he struggles with sensory integration and some other situations, that he needs help. But physically, he looks fine. But for anybody that's been around us for quite some time, and they've been around our son, they know. Yeah, it's obvious. But when you're talking to educators, you're talking to doctors, you're talking to other professionals, even from legal standpoint, you're constantly writing the same documents, you're filling out the same forms over and over and over again, annually, quarterly, the same stuff. To where essentially you start getting on your computer and you just copy and paste the same situation every single year. Because some things just don't change. It's just who they are. And the world does not accommodate without you being specific on what accommodations need to be made. And that's the reality of the day-to-day situation. Now, for those parents who have what is now called HFA or Asperger's, you're dealing with a different type of fight, still daily, still trying to convince people, still getting that diagnosis, still trying to deal with it, getting back to the therapies and stuff. But the concept is still the same. There's a constant level of communication that needs to be conveyed that this is what my kid needs. Now, to the grandparents and to the family members and to the friends who think, oh, there's nothing wrong with your kid. Do you live it? Are you around my kid every day? Do you live in the same house? Do you understand what's going on? I would suffice it to say that you don't. Now, I'm not being judgmental here. This is just the reality. There are things in your life as a grandparent, as a friend, as a family member, that you won't get, that you won't understand, because you're not in this on a daily basis with your grandkid or your friend's kid or your sibling. And I say it that way because of my own experience of our own situation. Now, I'm going to share this a little bit to kind of give you an idea of a little bit of the personal struggle that we experienced. Now, I've spoken with my own dad. My mom since passed away. And I really wanted to first appreciate Rob Gorski, the autism dad, because something came up over the years. You see, with my mom being a licensed clinical social worker, she had an expectation that the government would provide the accommodations. She had an understanding that, yeah, okay, he's autistic, what are you going to do? She knew that there were actions that needed to be taken. She didn't know specifically what they were, but she knew that actions as parents needed to be taken. We need to move forward. What she didn't understand, from my perspective, is the aspect of behavioral issues, the sensory issues, the meltdowns, the need for routine, and the difference between a routine and a schedule. That alone right there caused a lot of arguments between my mom and I. My mom would say, oh, we're going to see you guys every Saturday at 3 o'clock. Well, routine would dictate that we would try to make it there by 3. But because of sensory issues or whatever else is going on, we probably wouldn't make it there until 4. Now, mind you, that struggle right there, difference between routine and schedule, that became a point of contention. Because the difference between a routine is just a set series of steps. A schedule puts a timeline on it, a deadline on it. And we focus on routines in our house, where we try to aim for a specific time or a time frame that things can happen. And by doing so, by making that little adjustment, allowed us in our personal situation to accommodate what's necessary in order to get things done, in order to help our son out. But it's still a constant struggle, because quite often that little point of contention between routine and schedule was a big one. Excuse me. But the challenge though was much deeper than that. It was about expectation and communication. Now, in my situation, my parents and my in-laws, they all understood, yeah, something's going on. You need to get the help. But they didn't live with us, not on a daily basis. They didn't understand us trying to track barometric pressure. We talk about it endlessly. But barometric pressure would cause, you know, sudden increase in barometric pressure or sudden decrease would cause migraines. It took us years to figure that out. You know, we're trying to figure things out as parents about our kids. We're trying to figure out what to do, you know, the following day or in that moment. We're trying to make sure we're constantly dealing with any type of medications or food or anything like that. This is a constant daily caregiving challenge. So, you know, my parents didn't understand this. They didn't understand the struggle. They didn't understand, as parents, there is a struggle. Now, as far as my son knows, as far as everybody else is concerned, our son was doing great. No issues. But to keep on top of it, to make his life easier, these are things that we had to do, and any parent would do. Now, it wasn't a hardship on me at all. In fact, he's always been great, you know, in regards to our son. He's always been a great kid. He has his own personality, his own level, his own quirks, just like any other kid. But there were things that we noticed that he needed help with. And our struggle was finding out what was causing him pain, finding out what was going on with him. Now, autism parents, well, every kid is different, so every parent is trying to figure out, is this normal? Is this typical for an autism kid, or is this typical for just any kid? So there's that struggle between what is typical for autistic and what is typical for neurotypical, and where is that blend in the middle? And so we're constantly juggling what is going on. Is this, so as kind of give you an example here, when our son became a teenager, all right, we had to fi find out, and we realized, no, this isn't autism. This is just him being a teenager. Okay. But early on, the struggles for us as parents was just trying to get him the services that he needed and trying to build a support of people around us that could be able to help us out. But what ended up happening was a little bit more difficult. Even though my mom was this licensed clinical social worker, and she struggled to help out. She constantly sent us stuff which we already knew, and we just took it in stride because we recognized that she was trying to provide information. We already knew a lot of it. A lot of us parents, we already know what's going on. We already, we have information overload out the ears a lot of times. We're constantly looking online. We're constantly networking with other parents. We're constantly networking with different Facebook groups. We're constantly networking with people just to get an idea or a semblance of, is the way my autistic kid acting normal for him or her? And that's really, I think, the struggle of any parent, is this typical growth for any kid. But there are some quirks, and there are some things that were could be considered quirks for an autistic kid, whether they're nonverbal or verbal or whatever. So as a parent, when I looked at my mom and or my dad, there was a constant struggle between my parents and myself and my wife. And there was a lot of lack of understanding. But they knew something was going on. They just didn't know how to help, and they struggled with that. And I failed as a parent to set boundaries, to say, hey, we got this. It's okay. Just be there for us. Be flexible. Be prepared for the unexpected. And as for grandparents, do that. Be prepared for those unexpected moments. There might be a meltdown. And try to understand that meltdowns have nothing to do with you as a parent or a grandparent. It just means that, there's just too much information, too much sensory overload. Let the parents handle how to handle the kid, so they can work through that meltdown, so they can be able to let that pass. And all a meltdown is just sensory overload, really, at the end of the day. And so you're just helping your kid out, or helping your grandkid go through that sensory overload. And that unexpected also may mean, we were planning on going to the grocery store, but it just can't handle it right now. That's okay. Just adapt. It's just be flexible and adapt. And I think the other thing too is to enjoy each moment as they come along. Try not to force anything. Just roll with the flow, as some folks would say. And I've said this before in previous episodes, autistic individuals, our kids, they're just like any other kids. Prior to the diagnosis, after the diagnosis, they're awesome. Love them as they are. And like any kid, every kid has quirks. Every kid has oddities about them that we don't understand. Love them. That's just the reality. Just love them. Accept them as they are. But I do have to say, one of the things that I appreciate is when my parents finally got it, even though they, by that time, they lived in another state, they did become reliable as a listening post, as somebody that I could be able to call to just vent a little bit. and being available at that level was healing for me and healing for us. Now, I know that there are many grandparents, friends, and family members that still just won't get it. They don't understand. And it goes back to that phrase that some have often heard in the autism community: you don't know because you don't live it. And that's okay. You don't know because you're not involved with the daily activities, the daily lives. You don't have to get it. And that's the great thing here is, as a grandparent, as a friend, as a family member that, you know, like an aunt or an uncle, you don't have to get it. You just have to be willing to learn how best to help in a specific situation. Because autism is a spectrum disorder. What works for one kid most likely may not work for another. There are things that I know work fantastic with my own son that, quite frankly, make things worse with other kids. So the reality of it is you have to take that individual as an individual, accept them as who they are, find out what makes them tick, ask the parents what works and what doesn't, and allow the parent to share with you what are some tips and tricks. Now, I will say one of the things that has helped in our situation, I've heard a lot of other parents say this too, is you know, if your kid is past 5 or 6 or 7 years of age, they're going into 10, 12, or 13, talk to them at their age level. They understand far more, especially if they're nonverbal. They understand far more than you think or realize. Expect them to be at that age level. So if they're 5 or 6, talk to them like a 5 or 6 year old or a 7 year old. If they're at 12 or 13, talk to them like a teenager. You know, you don't need to talk to them like a baby. They are older and they understand so much. And I can prove this so many times, time and time and time again, because there was a period of time where some of our family members and friends would talk to our son like he's, you know, 2 or 3. I'm like, dude, he's 12 or 13. Why are you talking to him like a baby? And it's like, he completely understands you. And a friend of mine said, huh? And I said, he completely understands you. Really? Yeah, he does. Just talk to him. And he didn't get it until I just went, hey man, you want some milk? And my son looked at me and says, milk please. And looked at my friend like, see, he gets it. The point I'm trying to make in that scenario is that don't underestimate somebody who's autistic. Don't think that they are less than. They are just as capable as anybody else. In fact, in some instances, they understand and listen more than anyone else, especially nonverbal autistic, from my perspective, because they have the ability to listen more and to understand more. They just don't have the ability to convey what they understand verbally. So there's just so much to be able to express in this, that the support that a grandparent can provide, that a friend can provide, that, you know, an aunt or uncle or cousin or whatever, anybody that doesn't live in the house can provide, is that of being there and treating the autistic individual like a human being and not like a toddler, and just accepting them for who they are and being there for them and understanding that there might be some triggers for meltdowns, that there might be some things, and just being flexible and be loving. And just say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm just going to sit over here and I'm going to chill out with you. Do your thing. And when you want to interact, we'll interact. Little stuff like that can mean so much to so many people. But that's what works in our neck of the woods. I would love to hear what works for you and your family and what has helped you in addressing any issues going on with your kids' grandparents or your parents or aunts, uncles, your family dynamic. Would love to hear your comments and feel free to ask questions in regards to all that. So next week, I am looking at doing another podcast, and I'm trying to keep these podcasts going on a regular basis every Friday. Today was just a little bit later in the day. Usually I try to get them out on Friday mornings, Thursday nights or Friday mornings. And for those who are on Patreon, they get a little, normally they'll get a little bit, for you Patreon folks, normally you get a little bit of an advance understanding of what's going to be shared during the week. And if there's any other types of stuff and feedback, you can check out the Patreon account. Next week, I'm going to look at schools, addressing the IEP, talking with educators, administrators. That one, if you've listened to this podcast for a prolonged period of time, you know that there's some things addressed there. I'm going to share what my perspective is. Now, in regards to that, I'll give you a little advance notification here. I am normally taking the back seat on dealing with IEPs, educators, and administrators. I'll share what my tips are, what I've discovered, and what I've learned as an autism dad. However, it's usually my wife that takes the lead on anything associated with the IEP and anything dealing with other educators, administrators, and stuff. And so that'll be next week. And then we'll talk a little bit more about doctors and therapists, finding one, second opinions, best practices, parents' role. Now, which leads into the last two, which I'll share for the moment, is information overload. Yeah, it's a thing, and I'm not just talking about what I'm just brain dumping at the moment. It's when you get the diagnosis or when you're trying to discover things, there's just too much information out there. And then for those who blog about autism and those who are a parent of a child who's autistic, about sharing your story online. Now, this is something I'm very well familiar of, being the editor of autismable.com. There are some do's and don'ts for privacy's sake that would be strongly recommended that people really take under advisement. But anyways, next week, schools, and we'll tackle that one next week. So thank you very much for following me on the podcast here on Autismable Dads, and I look forward to next week. Have yourself a wonderful weekend and week. This week's podcast was made possible due to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to help support this podcast and our efforts with Autismable, please consider becoming a patron. A special thank you to the following top supporters for this week's episode, to John, Daryl, and Linda. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for listening to this edition of Autismable Dads, Life with Autism from a Parent's Perspective. More often than not, we tend to talk a lot with other people. This particular edition is just some insight that I share from my perspective. Feel free to reach out to us at autismable.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, as well as several other social media outlets. You can also become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/autismable. Thank you.